Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mother, She Wrote Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is D. Earl Stevens. He is the author of Toxic Tales, a caustic collection of Donald J. Trump's very important letters. He's the former managing editor of Stars and Stripes. He's a Navy vet, a prolific writer, and I'm excited to talk to him. But before I do, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with D. Earl Stevens. Welcome back to the show, Earl.
It's great to be here, Kimberly. Thank you.
And it's, you know, as my audience knows, I'm using a new system and I'm still kind of working my way through it. So just FYI, like the last couple of shows, I had a couple of dropouts. Like when my guest was talking, they just dropped out. And then last week I was talking with Skylee Heinen and she kind of got garbled. So I fixed it. But I'm just letting everybody know and you in advance that I'm still working through the system, but I think we're going to be good. And I'm so excited to talk to you today because aside from my mother just fucking loving you, I told you before we started recording so often. I mean, I call my mom every morning and she'll be like, did you see what Earl wrote? Did you see Earl's piece? And it's like, so she's just so into you, dude.
Yeah. No, and she should. And like I told you, I beautifully send her money in the mail every month. Baby things. So no, I love your mom too. She's fantastic.
Oh, that's so sweet. Hey, yeah. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
yeah, right. That, you know, that one, it's like the Republicans are taking a gun to their head with that one. That, you know, anybody that says that they are not is willfully ignorant or a liar and or a Republican.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no way anybody's not better off than they were 4 years ago. So,
it's ridiculous that they even think that that's like worth it to ask. I mean, I think Chris Hayes last night put up the New York Times front page from March 20th, 2020, and it was just awful. And aside from all the people dying, it was just, you know, people were getting, they were losing their jobs. I mean, there was so much going on that was dark and horrible. And while we can't blame COVID on Donald Trump or the Republicans, we can absolutely blame the response or point our fingers at the response. Yeah. Or lack thereof. And all the unnecessary deaths. I mean, I don't remember if it was the 20th or, you know, somewhere around the 20th, Donald Trump said something like, you know, oh, at this time, I think he knew how bad it was. And he was saying, oh, what we, you know, the numbers are just going to start getting lower and lower and lower of the deaths. Yeah. And obviously that didn't happen.
Yeah. And remember, so, like, everything was going to open up like magic on Memorial Day. And then it was July 4th. And then it was Labor Day. And then it was really never. But yeah, that's political malpractice. I mean, I'm glad that you're asking that question. I'm only too happy to answer it. In fact, I saw a new ad Biden put out, I guess, this morning answering that question. It's fabulous. And it goes through all the reasons why we're better off than we were 4 years ago, or many of them.
Yeah, and there are a lot. I mean, it's, you know, like you said, let me ask you this too, because I have only just started going out without a mask everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, at Christmas time or the holidays, I'm always going to mask because I haven't been sick now for so long and like not a cold or anything. And I feel like, well, you know, even though I get a flu shot and everything, it's just worth it. I mean, I've gotten the flu after getting the flu shot because, you know, just like with COVID, it doesn't necessarily protect you from every strain. And maybe the flu that you're going to get isn't as intense as if you didn't get the flu shot, but you could still get it. You could still get a bad cold. You could still get bronchitis, all that stuff. So it's like, you know, wearing a mask to me now, I just feel like not, I don't feel like people are going to stare at me, but it's March 21st. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, there's a couple different issues. My mom just had knee replacement in December. And so, you know, I was seeing her and I wanted to not get COVID. I didn't want to give her COVID while she was healing. And then my boyfriend's father has had all kinds of health issues. So both of us have been trying to avoid getting sick. So now it's the first time really since 2020 that I'm just going out in the world and not wearing a mask anywhere. So how are you with the mask? Do you still wear them or is it sporadic?
Yeah, no, I think, gosh, it seems like it's been a few months since we talked, at least a few months last. Yeah. So no, I'm going out without one. There are plenty of people, like, I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, you know, like, this is the most liberal place in the world. So a lot of people wear masks here, and I appreciate that. But I think since I last talked to you, I got COVID finally.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was traveling overseas. I was visiting my daughter. And so on the way, just before leaving, I got really sick. I wasn't feeling well. I'm thinking, well, maybe it's the flu, maybe it's this. By the time I got on the plane, I was really sick.
Oh no!
And so I got it, and it sucked. But you know, it was bad for about a week, and then kind of, you know, it took some time to shake it off. So long way of saying, no, I'm not wearing a mask too much, but I will if I'm hearing or seeing incidents where people are getting sick again. You know?
Yeah. So, right. Exactly. Yeah. I want to ask you, but now we're. When did you get sick? When did you get COVID?
Yeah, it would have been early November. Yeah, early November. No, sorry, early October, but for what it's worth, early October.
And then but at that point, they didn't have the latest vaccine, did they?
No, they didn't. And what was interesting, you know, when I tested, I got back and tested, you know, I definitely had it. And then, you know, called the doc and, they said, there's really nothing we can do about it. Just isolate for 5 days. It's going to be bad, but you should get over it. That was really their instructions. Mm-hmm. And they were right. About the fifth day, I was finally starting to come out of it a little bit. And then just had residual stuff going on for the better part of the month, probably.
So what were your worst, like, what was it like? You said it was bad. So how was it bad?
Those were the worst headaches I've ever had in my life. You know, it's really, really, really intensely bad headaches.
How long did they last?
The whole time, basically. They never went away. I was able to drift into some sleep, you know, and then you'd wake up and your head would be pounding. Ugh. You know, I had a sore throat. I was congested, but those were the biggest symptoms, but it was the damn headache. I'll never forget how bad my head hurt.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad.
And then the last question on this, were you up, you know, I know you didn't get the vaccination, obviously prior to that, the latest one, but had you had all the vaccinations? Okay. That's, you know, I mean, that's why I don't want to get it. I know that, you know, at some point I probably will. But I don't want the headache. I mean, I just that scares me. I can deal with all the rest of it, but that headache thing. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It was, no.
It was really, and then my wife got it, you know, because I share. And and she said the same thing, you know, about her head. She, if you asked her, she would say, yeah, besides a headache you generally give me, my head really, hurt a lot.
Wow.
So it was,
God, this freaking thing just, it it's never going to go away.
It was the Euro screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. All right. Well, let's move into some politics here.
Oh, good.
I want to first cover a couple of things that you wrote and go over those. But you had, after the State of the Union, you wrote a piece titled The Greatest Comeback Story Never Told. And I just kind of want to go over this because I don't think Joe Biden, you know, he's clearly not getting the credit he deserves for mainstream media. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Americans who are just going on their own personal experience as opposed to looking at the bigger picture. And, you know, everybody has their individual picture. It doesn't mean it's reflective of what's happening in the entire country. So I just would like for you to kind of go over what, you know, what do you think in terms of Biden's, you know, accomplishments, his presidency, you say he's the greatest comeback story never told. So just talk about it a little bit.
Sure. Well, I thought that I took that line from his speech where he actually said, when he was talking about all these communities that are using this infrastructure money and how things are actually a lot better than the media will report them. And he said it's the greatest comeback story never told. And so I said, well, that's catchy. Whoever the speechwriter there really had a winning line. And so I kind of built off that. You know, I thought it was a, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would give it an 8.5, that speech, maybe a 9. What I really appreciated most looking back on that speech is the way he came out of the chute. And it was like a rocket, you know. And the first thing he did, which I totally appreciated, was he stood up for Ukraine. He stood against Putin, and he stood up for democracy, you know, and that was, I was so happy he did that. You know, we so needed to hear that. He took on the Republicans for their attack on January 6th, you know, and as I wrote in my piece, you know, people like us, I'm a veteran among other things. I need to hear that, you know, I need to hear my president stick up for our country. And so there was a lot of other meaty stuff in there. I thought he did really well. But that, man, that meant a lot to me that he did that. I think that's the way to go. There, I guess what I'm hearing, Kimberly, without being too long-winded about it, is that there are some disagreements inside the Democratic Party about how they want to play this democracy thing, if you will. Do they want to really hit that hard, or are they worried that they're going to overplay it? And what I'm hearing is Biden is, look, this is a fight for a democracy, and you're going to hear that a lot from me. And I agree with that.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, I think it should, I personally think it should be mixed in with things like abortion and gun, you know, all the stuff about guns and all that, because it's a combination. I mean, I think with some people, especially, I say this, and I don't mean to repeat myself, but because I had the opportunity to live in communist Russia when I was 12 years old, and I got to see firsthand, you know, most people don't have that experience, and a lot of people can't even imagine what that would be like.
Right.
And, you know, so I think when you say democracy, if that's somebody, if that's something someone has always known and they haven't experienced anything else, I think for a lot of people, it doesn't really have a lot of meaning. Because they have nothing to compare it to.
It doesn't. No, you're right. And that's the thing. And this is where, you know, we'll probably get into this a little bit. If we're not, I'm getting into it right now. And that's where the media has failed us spectacularly right now.
Yes.
I'm covering just what it would mean if we lost our democracy. And everything that would entail, every awful thing that would entail. And so I agree with you. He needs to, as you said, sprinkle it in with women's rights, which to me is going to be the issue in November, and why I will tell you Democrats are going to demolish the Republicans at the polls. That's the issue. That is the issue. But keep talking about democracy, and I sure wish that my brethren in the media would do better on that one.
Yes. I mean, don't we all? It's just, I think, and then democracy, you know, like, put it together. Make people understand that abortion rights are democracy.
Right.
It's the people having rights. And all the Republicans want to do is take rights away from people. It's unbelievable what's happening.
Yeah, no, that's it. They are willingly telling us they will surrender our democracy. They're just telling us this. It doesn't mean anything to them. It's insane is what it is, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And then you wrote that, this one just gets me. Pence is not going to endorse Trump. Okay, and that's a great thing. Mm-hmm. But he's going to vote for him. So I think it's a freaking big deal that he said that. And I know that it hurt Donald Trump. And I know that as a Democrat, listening to him say, I'm not going to endorse him, but I'm going to vote for him. It's infuriating. But what do you think the difference is? Because I still think Pence not endorsing him, but still choosing to vote for him is a big fat fuck you to Donald.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to vote for him. I think he said he's not going to vote for him. What he said was he's not going to vote for Biden.
Oh, okay. I thought he said he was going to vote. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So he's not only not endorsing Trump, he made a point of saying he won't vote for him. And then a lot of people took him on because he said, well, I won't vote for Biden either. And again, I just think that's such political stupidity on the part of the left. It's like,
I agree with you.
He didn't need to do this. He could have just, as I wrote, gone back to Indiana with Dan Quayle and they could have rocked their chairs and talked about why they were two of the most inconsequential vice presidents in history. You know, and instead, the dude made the point to get on Fox and say, you know what, I'm not endorsing this guy. So something happened with Mike Pence in the last few weeks or a month or something where he said, you know what, I got to go out and for the record say I don't support this guy. And it's significant. It really is.
Wow. I thought, because I didn't hear, I was only told that he said he would vote for him. So I didn't realize that. So obviously I was wrong.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
In fairness, you know, maybe he does go into the voting booth and go, I'm going to vote for Trump. But I don't know why he'd go out and say he wasn't, right?
Right.
If he was going to do that. So I think, again, that one was, and I decided to write about that one because I thought it was so underplayed. When would a vice president...
Yeah, I know.
You know, unendorse the person that he or she, well, in most cases, always he, yeah, Kamala, worked for. It would be like Kamala Harris saying, you know, on second thought, I'm just not going to endorse Joe Biden. Holy hell, can you imagine the attention that would get?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. They would just, the thoughts that are, no, yeah, they would have a field day.
Yeah, so it's a big damn deal.
Yes, it really is. Or as Sarah Palin would say, it's a big darn deal. It's a big darn deal. I tweeted out and put it on all the socials that Nikki Haley and Liz Cheney, I can't stand them politically. Their ideology is horrible, blah, 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 blah. But of all the people in government, they are the only two, those two Republicans are doing more damage, I think, to Trump in how they're, you know, handling everything, what they're saying about him. And then I just most recently saw, I think it was the day before yesterday, that Biden was able, or Biden's team was able, to convince big Nikki Haley donors to donate to him. And yeah, so right. I think, you know, we're seeing, I don't remember what state it was, but the other day when there was the Ohio primaries and all the primaries across, I saw that Nikki Haley, again, I don't remember where this was, but at least in one place, she got like 21% of the vote.
I think that was so Arizona.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. And so she's clearly still really hurting Donald. And
again, Right.
Yeah. First I want to point out that they're women. You know, I don't respect where they stand politically, but I do respect that they are, you know, going up against this guy, and they are women, because we're not seeing too many men do that. No. I mean, we're seeing men outside of government do it. But I'm wondering, what do you think the Haley effect is going to have? I mean, we've been seeing, you know, Trump has been underperforming in these primaries and Biden has been overperforming. And so you had said earlier, I want you to expand on this a little bit, but you saw a bloodbath. I can't believe I just said bloodbath. Not a bloodbath, but you saw, like, you know, an overwhelming Biden victory because of abortion rights primarily. But I think Haley's going to have something to do with it. And so talk to me a little bit about the Haley effect and just how do you see this election going? Do you think it's going to be like the Reagan map or like how do you think this is going to go?
Yeah, a lot to chew on there.
I know, I always do that.
Yeah, let me say first off, I agree with you that the women, it's always the women, you know, on both sides in this case that are smart enough to see the trouble we're in and with the looming demise of our democracy. So kudos always to the women. I think the Haley thing is very interesting. Here, there's another part of that that has interest me and has kind of been a sidebar issue. And that's the traitor Trump saying things like he doesn't need her votes. He's not worried about that.
Right.
And so that is so spectacularly wrong and stupid. On closer examination, you say, well, why is he saying that? And I think he's saying that because the votes don't matter to him anyway. You know, he's going to try to win that election through hook or by crook, and it won't matter. Votes don't matter to him. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really revealing thing he seems to be saying there, you know? So then what does Haley do, Kimberly? How does she play it? She's got a lot of power now.
Yeah. You know?
If she, like Pence, were to come out, I think, and say, you know what, I'm not endorsing this guy. There's no way he could win. You know, that's how much power he has. But I really fear she's going to endorse him.
I have a feeling that she won't. And the reason I could be wrong. I didn't think Biden was going to be the nominee. So, you know, I'm not somebody who makes all these accurate predictions all the time. But the reason I think that Haley isn't going to, because I think, you know, we always see in these primaries, you know, they all criticize each other because they want to be the top on the ticket. And the fact that she's still kind of out there, she hasn't endorsed him at this point, and she's still kind of, and she's getting a big portion of the vote. And her message was that he's dangerous. It's not just, hey, you know, we have different ideas about this and that. It's like she's going on the democracy argument. She understands that democracy will be lost. And so for that reason, I don't know that she's going to do it. I mean, if she does it, I'm not going to be that surprised, because unfortunately that party is just so, I don't know, they have no morality at all. But so it wouldn't surprise me for that reason, but it would surprise me in that, like what I just said, because of what she's been saying about him, it goes beyond your normal primary disagreements. Yeah.
That's a super point. I mean, you're right. She's really up the ante to a point, like she seems like she may be close to being never able to come back from it, you know?
Right, I mean, exactly.
So you've called Trump dangerous. You've called him a threat to democracy. And then how do you then gymnastically say, well, but I'm going to support the guy.
Yeah. Right.
And so the other, so I agree with you there, actually. Right. And the other thing is, of course, she's a politician and she's got her eyes on the prize in 2028.
Exactly.
And it's hard to see when Biden wins in November that she won't be a big player 4 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think they're all looking at 2028. Yeah. I wish, you know, there's so much I have. Okay, you know what? I don't want to go there, because I do want to just throw in, you had mentioned how Trump said that he doesn't need their votes. Well, Trump endorsed, I'm reading a tweet here, Trump endorsed GOP Ohio Senate candidate Bernie Moreno, says moderate Republicans shouldn't vote for him. They have a choice on the other side, and he's going around saying he has enough votes. So that actually kind of scared me. And, you know, it's like, what does he know? What do you take from that? Do you think it's just stupidity?
No, I really take his brazenness and the fact that he's decided votes don't matter. He's he's giving himself away and he's doing it purposely. He's already telling anybody who will listen, morons, that he won in 2020, that our voting system is completely screwed up. And so he has no intention of honoring any result except one that he wins in November, mm-hmm. you know? And so, look, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but when he loses, he's going to try to make it as ugly as he possibly can in November.
Yeah.
It's going to, like, January 6th is going to look like a picnic if he has his way.
Oh, God. The thought of this whole election, I'm trying my best right now to just chill and not get, I mean, I do feel a certain amount of optimism and all that. I'm worried about the Senate, but but as we approach and get closer and closer, I know it's just going to be so difficult. Election night's going to be horrible. And then we're going to have to wait and see what happens. And I keep, you know, I mean, one of the things that I've been saying is we have to win big enough so that it can't or won't be sent to the Supreme Court. Because if the Supreme Court has to decide, I don't even want to know.
Right. You're right. No, I mean, I would describe myself as optimistically terrified.
Right. You know? That's it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I can't believe that guy is still a thing, yet he is. And, you know, and look, I'm going to, you know, say it again. Merrick Garland has failed us. Beyond belief. Of all the people that I have contempt for in this country, he's number one on my list.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I do want to say, though, because there have been people who have been linking him to the Federalist Society, and I just want to say, because I know that the female justices, the liberal female justices, have given speeches at the Federalist Society. That's kind of normal. So he's not part of the Federal Society in the way that that people are assuming, because he's written things for them or he's given speeches or whatever. I mean, they all do. That's kind of normal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far it's unfortunate. I really just think that the choice for AG was bad. I think he would have been a better justice, but I do think also that Biden is going to replace him. And I would bet the main reason is because of the Hur report.
Yeah, for anybody who was on the fence about Garland, and candidly, I wasn't. I already was sick and tired of the guy. I already was sure that he'd failed our country. That Hur report had to just be the one where you go, okay, you know, what was that? You know, Kimberly, you have, you know, Eric Holder, right? A former attorney general politely taking him to the woodshed. When would that ever happen at a Democrat AG? Would go after another Democratic AG like that. And he's done it politely. But Holder's now saying, my words, but despite the fact that Garland's been a spectacular failure, it's all on us now. You know, we have to vote. And I find that incredibly insulting. We did vote. We did our jobs. Why didn't the Justice Department do theirs?
Exactly. I'm right there with you. And I was very, I stayed out of this because this is not my area of expertise at all. I don't know anything about the DOJ. And I just was kind of thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to say anything because I don't know what to say. I'm not going to complain at this point because I'm not the one running things. And I don't have the intelligence or I don't have anything to go on. And I'm just going to have to wait and see. Now that I've waited and it's funny because there would be people, because I wasn't quick to condemn him, who called me his cheerleader. It's like, oh my God, I'm not a cheerleader. I've never been a cheerleader for Garland ever.
Yeah. But, it's a sensitive issue. You know, I know particularly on Twitter, I know it's a very sensitive issue because there are certain people who have been lock, stock, and barrel Garland. And there are certain people who have not. I'm not interested in picking fights like that, you know, at all. I am. If I still see someone supporting him now, I will pick a fight. However, you know, but I don't want to go there. I just want us to be aligned and all that kind of stuff. But I think when there is a closer examination done on what Garland did not do, it's going to be scathing.
Yep.
And I, for the life of me, I don't know what the hell this man has done. I get so mad. I get so mad at them. But anyway.
Oh, well. Well, you know, we have to take a quick break, but we will be back after this message.
Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the podcast you're listening to right now. Are you a patron? If you're not, just go to patreon.com/startmeup. Check out all my tiers. I offer a bunch. Choose one and support the show today. Thank you so much.
Okay, we're back. Now let's talk about Lev Parnas. Okay, before we talk about Lev, I get a lot of men who just send me, they like DM me on Twitter with a tweet, expecting me to tweet their tweet. They don't say, hey, Kimberly, could you tweet this for me? Yeah, they just send me tweets. Right, and it fucking pisses me off so much.
Yeah.
So one day, Lev, I guess I was following him. I have no idea why. Oh, I know why. Maybe it was because I have my DMs open. I don't know. But he sent me a DM, and I think it was about his brother's book, Aaron Parnas. Okay. And so at this point, this was years ago, and this was before, you know, the Democrats were all like loving on the Parnas brothers. But, you know, right. I can't remember what I thought was kind of like short with him and said, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to share this. Like, how dare you come into my DM and ask me to do this? And so he got very defensive, and he, you know, he's like, I'm sorry. He was nice about it. I'll say that. But, you know, and then it was so funny because, I don't know, a period of time goes by and he did it again. So he completely forgot that he had, that I had scolded him for DMing me. And then he DM'd me again. And, you know, I guess I just ignored him. But okay. I think it's funny because now, you know, now, and then I later saw Tom Arnold singing his praises. And, you know, I'm in a lot of DM groups with liberals. And so I see Aaron Parnas in there all the time. You know, he's somebody that I see his name constantly. So, you know, and like I said, Tom Arnold was like, Lev is a great guy. Okay, well, he was like helping, he was working for Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to go on this, he's a great guy, but I will say, just like with Cassidy Hutchinson and anybody who's come forth and Michael Cohen, well, Cassidy Hutchinson never broke the law. She wasn't a criminal. Like, Cohen was like a criminal.
Yeah.
Lev Parnas is a criminal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I feel like after everything that he said, I feel like I'm really grateful for Lev, but I don't feel like I should have helped him share his brother's book. But I just, I just was wondering, like, this, what he said, it was so damning. I mean, he basically threw Bill Barr under the bus for conspiring, or cover up. I mean, so where do you think this all leads? Did you watch what he was saying?
Yeah, but it's, you know, I didn't watch much of the testimony at all yesterday. I caught a lot of sound bites.
Yeah,
of course, me too. Being in Wisconsin, I'm always interested to hear when Ron Johnson's name always comes
up
when it comes to Russia. And so I put a pretty exhaustive tweet up today about that, reminding people of Ron Johnson's 4th of July in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
And et cetera, which was all just unbelievable. It still is an unbelievable story if people really look at it. The tweet is up there now if anybody wants to see it. But it still blows my mind that I'm writing something that's actually true, that this all happened, that led up to Trump's Helsinki moment when he surrendered to Putin. But at any rate, I don't know. You know, it's all so astounding, isn't it? Right? I mean,
yes, it is. Like,
it's mind-boggling. And again, this seems to be another self-inflicted wound by the Republicans. It was their hearing, and it just blew up in their faces. You know, the other thing that is worth saying here is how good Democrats are at taking them to the woodshed when this happens.
Yeah,
you know, they're bringing all the receipts. This is a different Democratic Party than it was in 2015. You know,
yes,
I still hear people say, maybe rightfully so, we don't fight hard enough, or we still go high too much, whatever. I don't know, man. I see the gloves coming off all the time.
So do
now,
I.
And I am loving it. And I am like, go. Just go. So
And I also, I want to remind people too, because I mean, this is something I get from Bob Seska all the time, that when Democrats are complaining about, you know, the Democratic messaging, the messaging from the right doesn't come from the party. It comes from all the outside groups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, maybe a little bit from the party, but basically it's people who, they test all this stuff. They test messaging, and it's not coming from government officials. It's basically just coming from outside groups. And so we have that too.
Yeah.
But they have, I mean, unfortunately, they do. I mean, they call it the liberal media, but they have the media on their side. And then, you know, the media doesn't, like, I was bitching online because, you know, we always hear from Trump supporters and what their worries and concerns are. Yes. And their lies are never corrected. But when do they go into a diner and interview Biden voters? Never. They never, ever do.
Such a good point. It's such a good point. I mean, you know, I I've written pretty exhaustively lately about the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Which is just abhorrent right now.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only way you can say it is they're abhorrent.
Yeah.
And I was slow to come around to the notion that, you know, they want Trump in office and all that. I was in the media as a journalist for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm more in the independent realm, and I just didn't want to do that. You know, I didn't want to tar and feather people, but there is no way you can read the Times now and see it for anything else that they want a horse race.
Yeah.
And they're fine with Trump winning this election. Just peachy keen with it.
And you know, the crazy thing is Trump was always saying the failing New York Times. He was constantly bashing them. And, you know, I understand that I know they want the horse race, and I know that they get attention when they write about Donald Trump, but they would also get attention if they talked. I don't know if they think that, oh, Biden's accomplishments are boring or something like that. But obviously there are ways to frame these stories that could easily make them go viral, because all they have to do if they're going to do a horse race is tell the truth about, you know, Biden's all of his accomplishments and how he's outperforming, you know, Donald Trump in this area and the economy is doing good in this area. But they won't do that. And so for whatever reason, you know, the Democrats are up against so much more than the Republicans. And so, you know, we, like, going back to the messaging, we have our groups. We have, like, the Midas Touch. We have various bloggers and, you know, Allison Gill comes to mind, and Stephanie Miller comes to mind, and, you know, all these different people on Twitter and stuff like that with big. I think there was last year. They were all invited. All the big influencers were invited to the warehouse, to the White House. and you know,
come
I mean,
so it's like, the warehouse. Yeah.
But there are messengers. And really, we are the messengers, you know, and we don't have the benefit of the media just being honest and truthful and middle of the road. They are leaning toward the right because, like you said, they don't mind. I don't know why, but they don't mind another Trump presidency or, you know, saying goodbye to American democracy. I really, for the life of me, don't understand that. And I've said on my show, like, I've, like, conspiracy theories that maybe somehow Russia has tapped into our journal, not the journalists, but the people who own the companies. And, well, you know, and maybe some of the journalists, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe some of the journalists. I think it's a pretty easy one there. It's money. Trump is right about one thing, and he can get attention, and he has been very, very good for the corporate media. Look, he's been good for me. I would have never been really doing any of this stuff if it wasn't for this asshole, you know? And so he's made me literally ill, but, you know, I have been able to build something here, basically taking him on. The thing that, let's stay with the Times for a minute and some of these other organizations, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. These damned polls that they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Think about these polls and the damage. We know polls are worthless. We know polls are worthless. They have been just catastrophically wrong for going on 8 years now, probably, right? And so the Times or any media organization should never do a poll. And they should never do a poll because they should never make the news about themselves. That is not what any journalist does. You don't make the news about yourself. And then not only will they do that, they will do their damn polls, right? they will. Here's a line that they have it tucked into their polls. You ready for this? This is from the Times in their own polling stories. Mm-hmm. The limitations of polling are well known, especially almost a year before an election.
Right, exactly. Especially.
So basically they're saying it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
And then they will give 3 days, news cycles of all their fucking polls when they know in their hearts they're all horseshit. So what's that about?
Well, I will say this, and I've said this on this show before, so pardon the repetition, but, you know, I follow Simon Rosenberg and Tom Bonnier, and they got 2022, they were right about 2022, they were right about the special elections, and they did follow certain polling, not all of it, but certain, because, and when Simon was on my show, he was telling me the difference of, you know, these cheap-ass polls that the Republicans pay for. That are, you know, old landlines that they're okay. Like, for instance, they might say, do you like Biden? And the person might say no. So it's a favorability poll, but they don't follow up with, but would you vote for Biden? Yeah. And that answer might be yes. Yeah. So all their, some of these polls, and I think a lot of the mainstream media is just eating up these cheap ass Republican polls, or, you know, the ones that the Republicans are purchasing, and they're only in, you know, there's maybe only 30 people questioned, or they're all white men over 50, or whatever the thing is. And so there are other polls out there that are, you know, calling young people if they choose to answer the phone. I never fucking answer my phone. Right. So, you know, I mean, it's like, it just depends on the poll. And I think some polls are accurate, but I think most of them aren't, because people aren't spending the money on decent polls. And then the media runs with these bullshit polls and everybody gets freaked out. And it's like, we've got to ignore them, because, you know, unless we find out how was this poll conducted, we need transparency on this poll. Who was polled? What were the conditions and all that? Then we can't get too hung up on it, because the polls a year out in 2012, or it was like 2011, had Obama losing. So, you know, we cannot go on that. And yeah, and like you're saying, the media just picks it up and then they spend three days on it. And then, you know, I call my dad, who is, you know, older and not remembering everything, and he starts freaking out, and I have to explain this to him every time.
You know, the other part, right, is that they're dangerous. Because they're weaponized, and they also can be used to kind of set a disingenuous climate. So if you're seeing these terrible polls for Biden over and over and over again, you begin to feel hopeless.
Yes.
And you're just not going to work as hard. And I can tell you that's exactly going back to Rusher Ron Johnson up here, how he beat Mandela Barnes up here. Because the last polling we had up here before that 2022 election, where Democrats overperformed all over the place, was that Johnson was ahead by, I think it was 6-7 points, right? And so that was a week out. So a lot of people said, and I was out here, you know, knocking on doors and in the community and talking to people, and they're like, I just don't think Barnes has a chance against Johnson. Well, you know what happened in that election? Barnes lost by one fucking point.
Wow. One.
So just think, if some of these other folks who were thinking, you know, I should be more fired up for Barnes, had showed up and vote for him, because they literally, Kimberly, split the ticket. The Democratic governor up here, Tony Evers, won comfortably. So there were a number of Democrats or independents, whoever they were, who voted for the Democratic governor Evers, but did not vote for the Democratic Senate candidate Barnes. And it cost us the chance to beat Johnson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's just not smart. I mean, it's like, vote anyway. Even if you don't think they can win, vote anyway. I mean, give me a freaking break. What the fuck is that?
But people were literally citing the polls as a reason that maybe they were cooling their enthusiasm.
Oh, right. That. Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. So, and then I saw somebody on Twitter said to me something like, well, you know, it's good because if we see that, you know, if we're worried and we're not comfortable, maybe we're more basically going against what you said.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe we're more inclined to vote. But it's like, polls should never be about it should never be a warning. I mean, outside of, okay, we're going to take the temperature of this small group of people right now, all these months out, or whatever it is. Polling should just be about the facts. It shouldn't have any emotional, anything.
Agreed.
And so it's like anybody out there listening, don't ever go by the polls as far as what you just make your fucking plan, vote for the Democrats and call it a day.
Yeah, no,
all of them.
That's right. What you're saying is fair on the other side. It's like, don't get too comfortable and all that. I get that. I really think, I say this, that we learned our lesson after 2016. By the way, the polling had Hillary comfortably ahead here in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. like +6. Well, so I kind of think the Democrats have really learned their lesson. Famous last words, maybe, but I'm going to stick behind that. I don't see anybody going, you know what? I feel pretty comfortable. I'm not going to the polls.
I don't think we can ever afford to be uncomfortable. Now, I'm going to throw in this little ditty. For anybody who doesn't believe in this stuff, don't worry about it. This was all for fun. But yesterday, I looked up psychic predictions for 2024 on YouTube. I just wanted to see what I could find. So I found this woman, and she was a piece of work. She was really funny. I saved this thing, too. And so basically, she thinks that Trump has syphilis, and she couldn't figure out the situation with his hands, right? When he had all those sores on his hands. And then, I don't know, she came to this conclusion that the thing that worked for her and put it all together is that syphilis causes some numbness, right? And so that she thinks that maybe he put his hand on like a really cold bar and his skin ripped. And what she was saying is like, she couldn't believe that he would allow people to see his hand all fucked up like that. And she said, I think he probably just did. And the reason she said that was because he's all about appearance. And she made fun of his hair, the ferret that he had on his head. But she said, you know, he always looks the same. He's always got his makeup on.
Yeah.
You know, he yells at people for, and we all know he's given Ivanka all kinds of shit about her physical appearance. But it's like, you know, the idea is that he, part of his brand is how you look. And so she's like, it just wasn't coming together for me why he would allow everybody to see scabs on his hands or open sores. And she says, well, maybe it was cold and he had touched a bar and it ripped his skin and he didn't even know it because his hands are numb. And then she said, and that's why he can't hold a glass and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then I said this to Bob and he's like, well, how does that, how do you then explain he golfs all the time? And I guess he won the other day. So I don't know about that. I don't know if numbness is consistent, if it's all the time or constant, I mean. So, but she did say, for whatever this is worth, so I'm just going to wait, and we're all going to have to wait and see. Let's see if this woman's right. I don't know what her track record is. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but she made a very strong prediction that she thinks Donald Trump is either going to die in October, or she thinks that he's going to have some kind of like really bad stroke that it would be evident to everybody. You wouldn't even need a doctor to come in and say he can't be president. So I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying I believe it. I just thought it was kind of funny and, you know, that she would make this prediction. So we'll see.
Is she attributing that to syphilis or?
Well, his death, I don't know. I don't know why, you know, she said maybe he would have a stroke or something. And I can't even remember, but I went and I looked up, it was some kind of, she mentioned it was, it starts with a T. It's some kind of syphilis that starts with a T. And there were, dementia is one of the symptoms.
Yeah.
And so it looks like he has a bunch of those symptoms. And I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. She said, I'm not a doctor. This is all for fun. You know, all the legal stuff out of the way. I'm just throwing it out there.
Let me, you know what, Kimberly, here's something that just came into my wacky mind as you told that story, right? I forgot about that hand thing. It was really weird and nasty looking.
Yeah.
So, but let's remember too, as we talk about, are you better off 4 years ago than today? That fucker almost died from COVID 4 years ago.
I know.
Right? And so we don't really talk about that too much. We know he was sick as hell, right? So maybe he's having some kind of long COVID or something, right? I mean, would the irony be of long COVID killing that guy?
Exactly. I hate to say this, especially because when he got COVID, he hadn't been vaccinated. So I don't know if there's a difference in long-term effects or effects, you know, symptoms or things that may happen years later. Obviously, we're not going to know about that. But maybe
we know
people
he was really sick, Kimberly.
Yeah.
He was
gasping for air.
Yeah. He was in the hospital for a long time, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He was really sick. And again, because he hadn't been vaccinated, he had absolutely nothing to, you know, protect him in any way. So, we don't know. And they are saying that stroke is possible. Or at least they're seeing, you know, people who have had COVID specifically before vaccinations. And I don't know how vaccinations play into it, but before vaccinations, some, you know, it's showing up that it's affecting people in that way. And it's also affecting their heart. So I don't know if he's going to die in October. But what's really funny is I love to go. I always go usually in the year. It started in 2020, but the year heading up to whatever election, I like to go to this website, and it's all these psychics, and they all weigh in on a lot of things, but it's mostly politics. Yeah. And so it's a whole bunch of them, and they just say a bunch of random shit, and then you go back and you can look and see what's been accurate and what hasn't. I have to say though, they did call it in 2020 for Joe Biden. There were a few people who thought Trump would win, but mostly they thought Biden would win. Good. In 2022, the majority called it for the Democrats, so they were basically correct. And then now I would say nobody is calling it for Trump. Everybody is saying Biden is going to win. But what I found interesting is one of those people said that Nikki Haley would step in at the last minute.
Yeah.
So I thought, isn't that interesting? I mean, I'm not saying for anybody out there who thinks this is total bullshit, you're fine to think it's total bullshit, but I just love to go and look and see what they say and then go back to it when it's finished and go, okay, that was accurate. So it'll be interesting. And one of the other predictions was that there's two more that were interesting. Justice Thomas would be stepping down in 2025, either in March or May, I don't remember. And that Donald Trump would be convicted of the RICO charges in January. I think it was January, 2025. So, I don't know. We'll see. But I saved it because it's like, I want to go back and look. But everybody's predicting that he's going to win. So,
I could stand to see Lady Karma show up strong here anytime now and take care of a lot of this. So, but again, listening to you, I have a question for you, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Do you think that Nikki Haley would have been a stronger candidate than Donald Trump?
Well, yes and no, but I'm going to go with no. And the reason why is because she's a woman. And it's really hard for me to imagine that. I mean, on one hand, I can see it. And on one hand, I can see men having a real problem voting for her, Republican men. I can also understand because, you know, they are lockstep group. They all, you know, they know that if Nikki Haley were in charge, that she would do all the things that they like, you know, take rights away and things like that. But I know that she polls, you know, she I think in a couple of polls for whatever they're worth, she was doing better, I guess, than Trump was. But I have a hard time believing that I don't think she could beat Biden. Don't you wish you could just like have the results of what a Nikki Haley, you know, v. Biden and then Trump v. Biden, the difference. I think Trump would lose by a bigger number, but I just still think Nikki Haley would lose. Like, what do you think?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's impossible not to get your point about women, right? I just think it's a or I'm sorry about men, because we're a screwed up group. And I just think there is just so much misogyny to this day that you're probably right that maybe she would be the weaker candidate. But I kind of think that Biden and the Democrats are happy Trump is the guy who's running, that they're running. He's so easy to run against. So, I don't know. I was curious as to what your opinion was on that. I guess I'm 50-50 on it, but I don't know. I'll just go with what you said.
Yeah. I don't trust them, but I also feel like, you know, I just don't see men doing it. What I fear is really my biggest fear is 2028, because I think, you know, I know this is the old school thinking because my grandmother had this thinking. Like she told my mom after Clinton, she goes, well, I voted for Bush because, you know, it's the Republicans' turn. And that's all she was looking at was turns. And yeah. so now granted, she was, you know, she was born in 1917. She didn't have to worry about school shootings. And we've got all these different, you know, or all these younger people who are coming of age right now and they're able to vote. And it's a completely different landscape. So I don't see that whole, well, you know, we gave Democrats 8 years. Now it's time to give Republicans, because it's not Republicans, it's fascists. And, you know, my big fear is they're going to find someone like Glenn Youngkin who speaks softly and looks like a sweet figure. But, you know, I mean, Lauren Windsor, who is she's on this show and she's on The Undercurrent. She's a producer for Undercurrent. She always goes, you know, to these MAGA rallies and puts hats on and, you know, and acts like she's a stupid MAGA woman with a microphone and goes up to, and she's really pretty. So she goes up to these guys and she asks them questions and plays dumb, and she goes undercover and she gets them to reveal all kinds of shit. And she did that to Glenn Youngkin, and she was asking him about abortion. And he's basically like, well, we're not going to say that till we win. You know, we're not going to go hard on abortion until we win. And so that's, you know, that right there tells me, like, if I had any power in the Republican Party, that I would want maybe not Glenn Youngkin, but somebody like him, someone who's a nice enough looking man. You got to get a man. And, you know, and I'm talking specifically Republicans here. And he's got to be able to come off as, you know, a friendly, soft kind of soft spot, that, or somebody who's real strong, you know, like a not like DeSantis. It's like DeSantis wanted to be, you know, it's like the successful version of DeSantis, I think, is somebody that might be able to capture that party right now. But, you know, I don't know. 2028 scares me because I just feel like, you know, Biden, providing Biden, you know, everything goes good and he's president until the end. I don't, you know, we're going to have our primaries and it'll depend on who comes out on top. But that's we can save that conversation for another time. But it's like, yeah, that's the one that scares me.
Well, I was going to say, geez, just get me.
Did I lose you?
Oh, no, I didn't. Alive. I'll be really pleased by that. And, you know, as far as Youngkin goes, that was yet another election in November that was consequential in Virginia, you know, and yeah, Youngkin didn't do too well. And that was really important, because had Republicans done well in that election, you're right, Youngkin was on the rise. And he's scary. And so that was yet another election where, I mean, there's so many of them where Democrats overperform.
He's scary, and someone like him.
Yeah, right, exactly. Whoever that is.
So, hey, this is Kimberly, and just as we were finishing our conversation and, like, literally was going to tell him to tell everybody where, you know, they can find you, I don't know what happened. Nothing was happening. Couldn't hear him. We tried several different ways to fix this, and it wouldn't, so we just said, fuck it, and I'm going to tell everybody where to find him. So you can just go to Earl of Enough. Just go to Earl of Enough. He's Earl of Enough on Twitter, and he's got a Substack. If you just enter that into your search engine, you will find all the various, he writes for Raw Story under D. Earl Stevens, and that's P-H-E-N-S. Of course, you can find me on Twitter and just go to my very first pinned tweet, find everywhere I am. If you're not on Twitter, just under my name, you'll find me, Kimberly L-E-Y. Thank you for listening, and I'll figure this system out completely one day. But until then, stay well.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.